We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God. Be revived.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Today, we are starting a new series today, The Way of Discipleship, defining the standard and cost of kingdom discipleship. Amen. Hallelujah. This word is not new in this assembly. Since I met Daddy, he has been talking about this. That's just the truth. So it's not new. It's just that I see that, I just saw that the Lord has granted so much grace. You know, sometimes you can be seeing something from a distance. You have to wait also in timing to know when the time for that thing is the time to implement it. In working with God, timing is very, very important. Amen. Just knowing the will is not enough. You have to know the time to implement it. If you know the time, if you know what God wants to do and you miss the time, it's as good as you missed everything. Because what makes that thing beautiful and makes it come out the way God wants it, it is the timing. Scripture says He makes all things beautiful in its time. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to thank God for that discipline in following the Lord, that the Lord has helped His servant, waiting until it's clear that this is the time. Hallelujah. This is the time for this to the labor, the authority on this will start getting stronger, and then grace will be released for it. Amen. I also believe that there is a particular movie that came out when this was being, the Lord brought back the emphasis, and there was even a teaching on it during that time. Those things are signs. Amen. One of the things also the Lord will help us to know is to be able to read signs. When I mean signs, please, I'm not talking about reading the astrological kind of signs. That's not what I'm saying. Amen. Not reading the heavenly bodies, and that's not what I'm saying. That Satan can deceive you with that. You understand what I'm saying? But sometimes when you check your spirit and see something, you know that God is using this to strengthen what He puts in your heart. You know, things like that. So when that movie came out, The Forge, how many of you have seen it? So it was clear that the Lord was talking to, I believe it's not just City Gate Church. I want to believe it's actually, you know, the Lord was speaking to the body. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Consigning discipleship is very important. It's consigning discipleship. So if you watch that movie, you know, yesterday I was even feeling that maybe I should go and watch it again. You know, those are kind of movies you should relax with, so that when you are relaxing, you are also hearing God. Not that when you relax, after you finish relax, you are defiled. You now go back again to wash yourself. That's not a good way to relax. Amen. Hallelujah. So those movies are wonderful. Those people, they are prophets in a way. So they don't just come out with movie because of, it's not like Idimota Road, you know, this kind of. I just wanted us to laugh a little bit. Hallelujah. It's not those kind of movies that let's just leave that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's clear that the Lord leads them to bring out movies. It's not for the money's sake or for the market. You understand what I'm saying? So when they brought that, it was clear that Jesus is talking about this. And I believe with my own little understanding that the Lord has helped me, that it was an answer to a cry. There is a lot of cry that why is Christianity being watered? Why are people no longer strong? They complain everywhere. You know, there's a major meeting in the body that held a few months ago. Everybody that ministered on that platform was lamenting. It was like they were writing the book of Lamentation 2. You understand? Everybody was lamenting. And the the lamentation is that the quality of Christians has dropped. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's everywhere. I believe that movie was an answer for those who can read the handwriting of the Lord. That's the Lord is saying that this is what missed out that caused this. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Amen. Now go back to get this area fixed. Then you will have a kind of quality of Christians that you desire. And the Lord, by his mercy, helped us to be under ministers that found mercy to pick frequencies of the Spirit. So I'm saying all this to say that the teaching, it's a timely teaching, and the Lord will help us to yield to it. Amen. It's not a new whatever like that. The sound has already been in the house for a long time. Hallelujah. It's just that we are finding grace to strengthen it a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that does not mean what has been taught some weeks ago is no longer, we have passed it. No. Amen. We don't journey like that in the spirit. Hallelujah. The way of communion is still very relevant, you know, and then it's the Lord saying one thing that have many faces. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Lord is still wanting us to digest that and integrate it for it to become a life. It's not yet a life. And that is the reason why God's servants said that we should take it to households and KCC to make sure that it becomes a life. That word must become flesh. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I thank God for the way the meeting ended last week. It was a block that needed to be put. You know what they call capstone? If there is no capstone, the building will not be finished. Amen. That mommy, by mercy, find grace to put that capstone there, which was love, as the major bedrock for our communion with the Lord. I believe, you know, when we're doing review in the household, I noticed that that is actually the major thing that Satan kicked off and communion disappeared. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So we pray, but our prayers are laced with unforgiveness prayer points, and we lost communion. So prayers became exercise, which is still, you know, how do I call it now? That misplacement became another part that many are even on it right now as I speak. Many are on it, which sees prayer as energy, you know, dispensing energy and not really communion. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Amen. Because love was no longer there. Forgiveness was no longer there. So prayer points were now prayer points which were not, they didn't have root in scriptures. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So the way of discipleship is very important. While Daddy was instructing us about the teaching, about this particular budding, you know, it says, let's call it the way. Amen. So it's a way. Amen. Christianity was first called the way. Amen. So it was first called the way. In fact, it was people that called them Christians. I had a minister said, I don't know how true it is, that it's actually out of derogatory statement or something like that, that they call them Christians. Amen. But they call themselves the way. I don't know the thought that backs that. Amen. So if it is a way, the way, then it is telling us that it's something that should be moving from one generation to another. I don't know if you are getting it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So defining the standard. So we need to know what discipleship really is. And then, you know, in the course of the teaching, I'm sure some other pastors that will come after me as God's servants will be led by the Spirit to choose, will talk around a lot of other things. Okay. So I will just do like, as God helped me this morning, to just like an overview of the whole thing. Amen. Just do like a snapshot. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll still be on this teaching, as God's servant said, for a while. Amen. So it's a way of discipleship. So we have to look at the standard of a discipleship, and we have to look, why even discipleship? Why exactly do we even need that? And I begin to look at from scriptures, I came to understand that is discipleship, actually, it's God's thoughts. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. It's God's idea. There are many ideas that is of God that spirits have hijacked and also using it for their own kingdom. I don't know if you are getting what I'm talking about. I mean, you know that everything Satan is using, he copied it from God. I mean, he didn't. There's no another thought kingdom somewhere that he has gone to learn anything. It's what all the things he knew about God that he's using in his kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? He hijacked all those things and he's using it wrongly against God's purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's clear that one the major way to move content from a soul to another soul is through discipleship. Every soul, you know, our soul is like a vessel. That's what scripture call it. It's like a vessel. And what you do with a vessel is that you pour content in it. I don't know if you are getting it. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, you know, every kingdom wants their values, their content, their laws, their nature, their character in souls should be passed to other souls. I don't know if you are getting what I'm talking about. So that medium of passing content in a soul to another soul is discipleship. Did you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the only way. That's the only way it can be passed. So I come to even discover that preaching and teaching is an aspect of discipleship. It's just like there are many things in the basket. It's just a part of it. So if that is the only thing that is done, discipleship is not holistic. Are you getting what I'm talking about? It's not okay teaching. We thank God for teaching. Thank God for preaching. But discipleship, there are many other things that need to be added to that to make discipleship, what is it called? To complete the process of discipleship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So just like that, he said, it's not only the Christian faith that has what is called discipleship. That's just like what I defined. It's cut across everywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. Even our school system is designed. It's actually a discipleship kind of process. And that's why they call your courses discipline. Amen. That's how they pass the discipline that some other lecturers have learned, but they pass it to another generation. And you know that it's just beyond coming to class. You get what I'm saying? There are many other things that is involved to make you, you know, I remember a particular lecturer, a professor told us a story. He was trying to address indecent dressing. And he told us a story about a student, a lady who was one of the, I think she was even the best graduating student in her set. And the day she was going to, they were going to be, is it convocated? What do you call it? So, of course, they'll call those kind of students out. So she wore something, that's spaghetti or indomie. I don't know what to call it. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, just to, you know, and the VC said that, is this the person? Is this one has not learned that the university is not just giving you a certificate. They also want to pass a character. So the truncated her studentship. Yes, the professor told us that story. You understand? So she did not, they didn't say she should go back to class. They just dismissed her on that spot. So it is not just the book. It is not just the book that is the learning. Amen. Hallelujah. If our schools are still like that, I think maybe some sense is. Amen. So what they are trying to say is that it's not just the paper that they deliver to you, no. That they believe that you should have culture. I think my school then, the motto is for learning and culture. So they want to believe that they want to pass a culture to you, not just a book. I don't know if you are getting it. Learning is beyond that. It's beyond just knowledge. Are you getting what I'm saying? Discipline. Discipline is character. Hallelujah. So all those waking up in the morning, class is fixed by 5 a.m. It's deliberate. It's deliberate. You are murmuring, but you come. You know what I'm saying? It's deliberate. So they are training you to be a disciplined person. So it's not just the book. So after you go through that for 4 years, for 5 years, you know, you will become, something will happen to you. I don't know if I get what I'm saying. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Zee, anytime we are eating swallow, he said they should give him spoon. I don't understand. So I said, what's wrong with you? Can't you just use your hand to wash the thing? And he said, no, he was trained in boarding school. Until today, he can't eat swallow without cutleries. I don't know. Pastor, sorry, sir. He has to look. If he doesn't see, they have to look for you. You'll be waiting. I say, this guy. Me, I'll finish the food. You see, I mean, I don't have such training, you understand? What am I trying to say? It's a training that was done over the years and it became part of the soul. Amen. So this is very, very important. The only way we can transfer virtue, transfer knowledge, transfer ways, transfer lifestyle is through the medium of discipleship. Hallelujah. So discipleship is the kingdom template God put in place to transfer virtue, to transfer knowledge. And these things has been there from the day, from the beginning. God even coming to the first man in the cool of the day, it was a discipleship setting. He was moving things to him. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's valid even till now. Let's just look at, you see Moses and Joshua. The scripture says after Moses left, the spirit, Joshua was full of the spirit that was upon Moses. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. How was it like that? Joshua was a, what we call protege today. You know, it's a disciple of Moses. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses has laid his hand upon him and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, just as they did to Moses. So you can see that did as the Lord commanded Moses. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you study Joshua, you see Joshua is always around Moses, following Moses, staying. When Moses entered into the holy place, Joshua would stay, you know. He's always, you know, he was learning just by observing and many other ways. Amen. So we saw the whole thing. You saw Elijah and Elisha. That he was ministering from that place, you know, on Thursday. You saw this whole process. You saw the whole thing down to the New Testament. It's very, yet still valid. Amen. Hallelujah. I understand that one of the things that Satan also attacked, you know, is this thing, this discipleship thing that made family become weak. You understand what I'm saying? He did that. And he used many other, because it's also discipleship process that happened in families. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. To transfer values from parents to children is still that discipleship thing. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. That training, that culturing in the home is a discipleship thing. But Satan attacked it over the years, you know, and then there's the gap. A lot of gap. Hallelujah. A lot of gap. Many did not go through discipleship. So they themselves were not disciples. They were not disciplined. So they could not even pass value to. They don't have. You can't give what you don't have. Amen. We saw that ravaging families. We saw that fighting with the church. We saw that in our schools. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. We saw the whole, all the system is being attacked by taking this discipleship away and replacing another. I don't know if you're getting, and it's Satan that is doing that, because he knows that when that link of transferring value is no longer there, in quotes, understand me, God is helpless. So it becomes difficult to move values. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Hallelujah. So sometimes what God does is that God has to break through into the world of men and pick one and train that one. That's what he did to Abraham. And train him to now make sure that that one begins. That's why Abraham will have to stay on the neck of his servants where he would take wife for Isaac. It was not for anything. It was for the values to pass. His discipleship. You can't imagine that. Thank you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because He was thinking of all the things God has taught me. If a wrong woman come into the life of this guy, that's the end. Thing will just disappear. God will have to start all over again or something like that. So he makes sure that this thing has to pass. And if you check it, you know, you could see that that was the issue that Isaac himself had with Esau. Have you read your scriptures? Esau went to marry outside Isaac's counsel. And the Bible says Isaac was not pleased with him. It began from there. Yes, Esau. If you can look for that scripture, you see it now. Canaanite. Esau, seeing that the daughter of the Canaanite pleased not Isaac, his father. So Isaac did not like what Esau did. Because Isaac also saw what the father did to him. So he wanted to do the same thing. So it was Jacob that allowed that process. Sometimes if you put yourself in the production line, even though if you have weaknesses, God will put hand on you. Because he prefers that you go outside the process he sets. I don't know. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah. So this Jacob even agreeing with his mom that, okay, when the whole thing happened, you will go to, you understand, to Laban and take her. That alone, God has said, okay, this guy will, that alone, God's okay, the other ones will handle it with time. No problem about that. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Hallelujah. But for, even apart from what happened to Isaac and all that, for what's it called? Esau. For Esau with the Canaanite woman to carry the promise, it will be hard. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying, because those women have no respect for the God of the Jews or the God of the Hebrews. Amen. So this thing is very, very important. So we saw the whole whatever going on like that. So that's the major thing that the Lord wants to pastor us. Okay, let me just read this. I have to study that this, slide that you took in Love Sea. That message, we should listen to it. There's a whole lot of things there. Amen. In a community like ours, where nature formation is an emphasis. Do you agree with that? Character formation is an emphasis. Inheritance. In fact, that is the major reason for discipleship. Say inheritance. The reason inheritance is not car. Those are gifts. Abraham did that well when he was going to. He sent Isaac's siblings away. He gave them gifts. Those are not inheritance. Today Satan taught us that house is inheritance. House is not inheritance. Those are not inheritance. So, inheritance is the values that Abraham has learned, that he handed it over to his son, that God actually put hand on. Amen. Hallelujah. So, majorly, discipleship is for the purpose of inheritance. So, an assembly like ours that God has helped, that has seen the importance of inheritance, that has seen the importance of nature formation, we must not play with discipleship. Because if we do, the thing will stop on the pulpit. It won't be found in people. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us. We will not play on discipleship. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus, which, you know, where Jesus was the God's model, you know, for mankind. Okay. When Jesus came, Jesus have to deploy that model to raise his apostles. So Jesus used that model. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. What we see today, Jesus never got that. Please understand me. Thank God that he will come around so that I will say something. Jesus knows, okay, come and teach people and go and they go. He go and they go and they come, they meet again, he go and they go. Mm-mm. Jesus did not use that principle. Jesus did not use that. That's not what Jesus used. Jesus had people that they were together. They were always with him. That was the model Jesus used. And if Jesus used the model, I think it is good
Don't you think so?
I think it's a good model to buy into it. Jesus used the model that he called those disciples, you know, he called them and they were with him. They slept together. They were moving from city to cities. So while he was not, if he's not even talking, they are still learning. So the learning didn't just stop when he's talking. If he's laughing, they are learning. If he's angry, they are learning. Oh, did you see that? Did you see the... In fact, when you see the way Peter raised Tabitha from the dead, you will see that same way Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus. Same way. So that means Peter... You know, if you read that place, that the way Jesus came to that place, the Bible said they laughed him to scorn. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because Jesus said the girl was sleeping. They say he's dead. He said the girl was sleeping. So the Bible said Jesus put all of them out and went with three of his disciples. Peter was part of the three. He went with James, John, and Peter. And exactly the way he did it. And called the name of the whatever. And the Jesus, Peter did the same thing when Tabitha died, which was also called Dorcas. Did you understand what I'm saying? The same thing he did. Where did he learn it from? Just by, look at him. And he came and kneeled down and prayed and turning to the body. Tabitha, arise. Same thing Jesus said. And she opened her eyes and sat up. Amen. By observation, Peter learned this. So there are many things they learned from Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? By that discipleship process. So Jesus used that model. That's what he used. Amen. That is how Jesus raised apostles. We have to know these things. Because, you know, we are even saying that there are many people that call themselves apostles. That they are not. It's just the beginning. Many of such things. Satan want to perverse everywhere. That to know the real one, you must know what you are looking for. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So we must know these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, disciples is what Jesus turned to apostles. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. Disciples. You know, that is that leaders should be fetched from disciples. And that standard is Jesus' standard. Is Jesus' model. It's not anybody's idea. That's what Jesus did. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Even when one of the apostles fell and they were looking for a replacement, they didn't just go and pick one guy from somewhere. They went to follow that model. Who is that person that has been following them from the day he was baptized? It was a disciple. They went to discipleship archives and fetch Matthias. Hallelujah. You see, Acts chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Wherefore of this man shall we have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out, among us, beginning from the baptism of John. That is where he started his ministry, actually. Unto that same day that he was taken up from us. That means this Matthias was there. Not just even Matthias, they chose two. Those two qualify for this. They now say, okay, God should fetch out of the two. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Barnabas. Amen. So they were there. So you could see that these people also, observing Jesus, also learned that you don't just import one guy to. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. The price for discipleship, has he paid for it before he can be brought into becoming an apostle? They have to check that. Amen. They didn't use any other principle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People following Jesus, they were disciples, they were multitudes. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Okay, let me just trust God to begin this way. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, the last three verses before we now read chapter 5. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. So Jesus and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick of sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had a palsy, and he healed them. Amen. And they followed him. It's a great multitude. And I understand, initially when I was writing, I wrote that disciples are followers. When I saw this, I have to change it. I said, multitude too are followers. But what differentiates between the followership of disciples and multitude is the end in view. So disciples followed for inheritance. Multitude followed for gifts. Are you getting what I'm saying? So both of them are followers. So, and they followed him, great multitude of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, from beyond Jordan. Only God knows how many people that will be following Jesus. Hallelujah. Seeing the multitude. So multitudes were following. And Jesus understand multitude are following for reasons. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember when Daddy talked about multitude and the disciples some times ago. He said something that was very, very striking. He said that, you know, the fact that you're in this church does not mean that you can't be a multitude. It's not denominational classification. So where people are plenty, they are multitude. Where people are few, they are disciples. No. People can be few, and all of them that are few that are there are multitudes. The few, they can be 15, they are multitude. So it is what you are seeking that makes you a multitude or a disciples. So you can be here hearing me, you are a multitude. It's what you are seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom. That's what disciples seek. One disciple told Jesus, he says, where else shall we go? Only you have the word of eternal life. Then it was clear why Peter was following. And it does not just only thank you. And Simon Peter answered him and said, now, you know what leads to this? This is John chapter 6. Jesus multiplied bread. People went to call people. You understand what I'm saying? It's not today people like free things. It has been there for a long time. Amen. They just like free things. They free things. So they came. Jesus saw them and just said, okay, let me see if, and heaped a little bit higher. I think Jesus does that most often time. When the multitude gather, he will now, you know, lift the thing up to see, maybe out of multitude, maybe you can get some that can change their state, that can just change their state. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can gather about 2 million people and teach cross. And maybe 30 will come back the next day. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So when he multiplied, people gathered, there were plenty. And he started saying some things that do not make sense. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. It was deliberate. Hallelujah. It was deliberate. And the people were like, you know, tell me, saying, mad guy, you say, make icons. What was he saying? I don't have time for all these kind of things, Jerry. It was rubbish. So they were offended. People were offended. And Jesus turned to his disciples too. He tried them again. Will you also? You can still go. You can still go. You can still go if you want. And Peter said, but I saw that, you know, Peter has had that leadership instinct with the disciples. Even when Jesus was there, you could see that. He did not speak for himself. Because he did not say that. He didn't say them. And answered him and said, to whom shall, say we. So he spoke on behalf of the rest. Yeah. He didn't say to, for me, just like Joshua would say, me and my household. I don't know about you, but for me, I don't know about Bartholomew, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going. He didn't say that. He said, for whom shall we go? So all of them were there for the word of eternal life. Amen. So that's what actually distinguished them from the multitude. So go back to that Matthew chapter 5. And the Bible said that when Jesus saw the multitude, he saw them, there were plenty. What did he do? He went up to the mountain. Now the question is, where he was, is there forbidden to teach in that place? Why did he have to climb mountains? No, Jesus is a terrible prophet. You understand what I'm saying? If it should be in a valley that people can sit, you know, flat land. Mountain is may have a kind of apex and all that. It may not be well conducive for a sitting, conducive for a sitting arrangement for teaching. You understand? Maybe some people will be, they still will be, but Jesus climbed the mountain. After he finished miracles, what does he want to do next? You just see Baba is going up to the mountain. And people said, ah, he's going to the mountain. I can't climb mountain. No. But if when it's true, you come down. Seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples. So his disciples that climb mountains. Yes. Came unto him. And he opened his mouth and began to teach them. So what he taught from here down to chapter 8. 7 to 8. The multitude didn't know anything about it. Because he's now talking about inheritance. That scripture, Matthew 6:33. It is discipleship thesis. That's why even till today, some believers who are multitude don't agree with this. Because it's not the multitude thought. It is it's those that have left all. That this makes sense to them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he began to teach. He opened his mouth and began to teach when his disciples came unto him. Amen. Discipleship is a language of commitment, accountability, sacrifice, and trust. It's a language of coming here. Discipleship. Commitment is a major thing there. Commitment, attendance to meeting. It's a major sign of a disciple. Attendance to meeting. Consistently, anytime they fix meeting, convenient or not convenient, you show up. Yes. It is in masters and in PhDs. When it's free for you people, for me to fix class. Saturday. Yeah, no, I have show in Saturday. I don't agree with that. Okay, when do we fix? On the graduate level. They don't consult you before. You just see the timetable. Consult you for what? No, so that's why as a fellow, you know how fellowship run now. You wait for timetable to come out before you fix your own fellowship. If you fix your meeting, then fix timetable. You have to change your meeting. Who are you? School. You understand what I'm saying? When they fix timetable, they fix it. Everybody will rearrange. You go back to your schedule and rearrange it. If not, you will lose your discipleship. Amen. So attendance is a major thing. Attendance. Amen. Accountability. Sacrifice. You know, they said that we have left all and followed thee. What shall we have then? They left all. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know, now he said something here that was very, very important. That this great commission actually is a raising of disciples, not converts. It's not actually, thank God for crusade. It begins from there. We are not playing down crusade. We thank God for crusade. But this actually is not talking about crusade setting. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Hallelujah. is not, you know, is talking about raising disciples. They make, and you see that scripture, what did he say? He says, make disciples, teaching them to observe all things. They go and make, say make. So discipleship is, you don't call disciples, you make them. Anything that involves making, there is a process involved. It's a making, say making. Make disciples of all nations. You make it of all nations. You make disciples. You know, you say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So it's a making. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. It means that the way you are, when you are coming, is going to be tampered with. Your arrangement will not remain the same. So discipleship will touch your life. It's the truth, sir. This thing, even me saying it, it's shaking me somewhere, but it's the truth. You know, discipleship will, there will be a rearrangement. Say, ah, that's how I am, or you leave me like that. Ah, they can't leave you like that, sir. you are not ready for discipleship. They have to make you. I don't know, are you getting what I'm saying? There will have to be a making. So the following will result to a making. They will make you to what God has in mind for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And sometimes to make something that has been made, to make it again, there may be that you have to break it. They have to break it again. And then, you know, you see Jeremiah was talking about going to the potter's house. You have to collapse it again. And now, because you didn't know we were disciples before we came to church. We're all disciples, though. Faithful disciples, sir. You're not just okay. No, nobody has discipled me. I'm on my own. That thought of I'm on my own, I don't have cancer. It's a making. It's a making that made you like that. I think that you're on your own. Yeah. You're like, you know, that he was demonstrating it to say that spirit will give you an idea. You think it's your own. You are bragging. I say, this is the way I see things. This is my own. This is my school of thought. This is my this and that. You have been made. So, of course, we know that there are makings that have been finalized. That a making can be finalized and it cannot. There's nothing anybody can do again. I'm talking about, you know, a sin unto death. Those things are makings that they have made people. They have gotten sealed. There's nothing again. But God, by mercy, encountered us when our making has not come to a place where it cannot be undone. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. One of the ways the Lord taught me some of those things is that there are places, there are some kind of, if you allow Satan to lead you, he will mold you to a point that you can't be reversed. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Yeah. Those things are real. Have you seen a federal government or a state government leave a region to construct road? They leave that place. They went to another place to start something. Like Bere. They're not born well to break their houses. So you have to go and look for another place and do your estate there and leave that place the way it is. Such kind of, you can't remold it. The place that have been set that way. You know what I'm saying? Just leave it like that. So some souls are set. Just leave that way. Just leave. Go and look for a new virgin land and stand so and do something that you want to do. The build a fresh, just leave. Because it's just be a futility. You can't do anything again. You understand? But God, by his mercy, met us when we have not gotten to that point. But we have a level of formation. We have been disciples to a degree. God just interrupted us so that we will not finish the discipleship program of Satan. And they brought us. You understand what I'm saying? So they have to be, and we have to be enrolled into another discipleship so that they can crumble. That, you know, you see Jeremiah talking about pulling down,
do all those things and all that. Then they build. You understand? That's what they are saying. So when you get born again, you do not just get born again with a soul that is a virgin land. Structures are on your soul. So Jeremiah 1 verse 10, he says, see that this day I have set you over nations. You know, Jesus said, go and make disciples of nations. So when you are going to make disciples of nations, they will set you over nations. And those nations, you have to break the formation first before you do. Yes, sir. He said, over the kingdoms and to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. And then you now begin to build and to plant. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to understand these things and trust God for grace to yield ourselves, including myself, to what God wants to do. You can't imagine what God wants to do is the best thing that will happen to you in your life. And if you reject it, that's the worst thing that will happen to you in your life. The Lord will help us to yield to this whole program and allow our breaking process to complete and for them to form us into what they want to. If God is true with you, you will look at yourself and you not believe it. You know, can God be as good as this? What kind of thought? He thought about this for me. There is thought for you. You can't imagine it. Amen. It's too good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he said, make disciples. So discipleship is a making. So we can thoroughly, we can't thoroughly baptize souls into names without a process of discipleship. That's why we saw that the way the book of Acts started, even the name of the Holy Ghost, they have to set a discipleship process for people to get name. They were not just go and come when we go and no. We're not building as they like. They have to create by the Holy Ghost, a system, a structure for that inheritance to be passed. Acts chapter 2. After people were getting quickened, new births, they were added to that system. It was a living system managed by the Holy Ghost. And Ananias and Sapphira wanted to pollute it. They said, guy, just take them away. You understand what I'm saying? This thing this thing, we have to keep this order. Amen. So look at what they were doing. They continue steadfast. Those are languages of discipleship. They continue now when they feel like. Not when they were led to gather. The disciples were ministering, not when they were led to preach. They continued, they were both steadfast. The preachers were steadfast. The saints were steadfast. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So from every angle, they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayer. They were steadfast for a process that you say it's like almost about an 8 years, whatever, for them to get those people that had the name of the Holy Ghost. So if the name of the Holy Ghost, this is the discipleship setting, it was one of the names Jesus spoke about. It's three names that are there. So that means there's a setting there that we call it wineskin for Christ discipleship. Yes. So when we begin to touch Christ, they'll begin to rearrange the assembly for the discipleship of Christ to start. That's why the way we do church, where we are coming, where my mother church, they can't do it here like that. It's not possible. It's not possible. You agree that what you are hearing there, you didn't hear that place now. So they have to rearrange another setting. May the Lord will give us wisdom. Some of the things we are complaining of, maybe a setting that they rearranged. Hallelujah. You know, I was fellowship with a brother and he said something that really blessed me. And he was talking about how, you know, he was struggling with somebody's infirmity, and the Lord was telling him that there will always be people among you that will be like that. Because if there is no somebody with infirmity, how will love be perfected? Well, I don't know. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. So the Lord will use, you know, it's just a skill of the Holy Ghost. He will use this to perfect this, remove this to perfect this one. So he's doing the work there. And I say, no wonder Jesus said there will always be the poor among you. It's not just the poor of money. The weak. They will always be there. Daddy was saying that Regina went to pray. You know, he was talking about some people that were like, it's like they were disturbing church in quotes. And the Lord told him that there will always be people like that. He just had his... Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So those things, the Lord used them. So there's a discipleship setting for Christ. There's a discipleship setting for everlasting life. There's a discipleship setting. And they are get stronger. They get stronger. What is permitted in this one will not be permitted in the other one. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. It gets more tighter because they want to pass, you know, names. Or you can call it inheritance. There's a particular movie I watched some time ago, The Ultimate Gift. I think that's the title. You know, there's this great wealthy man that, you know, all his children are spoiled because he has a lot of money. I think it was like a true life story. So he now saw his one of his grandchild. Even that guy too was spoiled, but he saw that the guy had something good. So he took interest in the guy. So he now told his friend. He willed everything to the guy and told his friend to put the guy on that process. Ah, the process was tough. The guy said, I know he hated me before he died. I know it. They dealt with him. they dealt, as in they really dealt with him. When it was true, he has not even, he has settled for a low life. He has became another, he was not even thinking of anything again. He has been broken. They now wield that thing. They now show him everything. Ah! In fact, the other brothers were making us, no, what can you say that? The man said, that is the will he wrote. There's nothing you can do about it. They were angry. They will, but the guy went through process that none of them would have gone through. They set a process for him to be able. So God will not just give you his name because he likes your face. You know, I know how the father, my father loved me. I'm the father. I'm the apples of his eyes. I'm the apple. You are just speaking grammar. You better go enroll. Amen. You better go enroll and go through the process. If you don't go through the process, they will include you to kind of children they call bastards. It's in scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't go through the process, you will not get his name. The Lord will help us. This thing is serious. Hallelujah. We should that we yield ourselves to what the Lord wants to do in our time. It's even a privilege that we are on earth hearing these kind of things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I've said that the present design and wineskin structure around us, you know, today does not fit into what we are saying. That's why we have to go back to the scriptures to see how it was done. Amen. Let me read this statement. Discipleship is a process of how God will fully integrate us into all the inheritance of life in the Godhead. That's very important. That's what I just explained. Anytime inheritance is in place to be given, discipleship process is deployed. We have checked that. Discipleship is not just, okay, born again, I'm disciples of Jesus. It's not like that. You are born again or you have experienced new birth to be began a disciple. You can be born again and never agree with discipleship. It's the truth. That's why we have Christians that their character betray the faith. Some people are even taking the direction that they are not born again. If they are born again, they won't be like that. They are born again. They are not just trained. They didn't go through the training process. They were not cultured. That's the word. Thank you, Daddy. They were not cultured. And to culture something, you have to put a structure in place. I don't know if you are getting one. They just lifting to chance to be cultured. They call one course horticulture. What do they call it? Horticulture. What is it? Study of what? Flowers, ornaments, whatever, and all that. You know, they don't just leave flowers to grow because they are flowers. They'll bring what they call that in Williams. Chairs. Imagine you are the one they are using that thing to cut. Your leg is like this. They trim you down. Some flowers, when they are trimming them, you see them bleeding. But afterwards, people are like, fine flower, let me take a selfie. But the flower bled 2 weeks ago to get that thing. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Let's agree to this process. It is good. God is not wicked. Hallelujah. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm making it clear to you. I'm making it clear to you. I'm making it clear to you. I'm making it bare to you. I'm making it so plain to you. So you can see. So you can see it from my own hand. So you can see it from my own hand. Now it's left in your hands. Now it's left in your hands. It's left in your hands. It's left in your hands for you to agree. It's left in your hands for you to agree to this process. It's left to you to agree to this process. But you need to have this heart. You need to have this heart. You need to have a willing heart. You need to have a willing heart to go through the process, to go through the thorough process. For it's a process. And go through it with this heart. Take this heart with you as you journey. Take this heart with you as you journey. For you see, the adversary is on the way. The adversary is on the way that does not want you to come to the end of the journey. It does not want you to come even into the inheritance of that name at each level. But I say, with this heart, you will prevail. I say, with this heart, you will prevail. So get the heart. Get that heart. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. And you will surely prosper in your journey.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. So new birth is not just automatic license to become a disciple. It actually qualifies us to begin the process of discipleship. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when you read Acts chapter 19, let's start going into, you know, Paul. I think that Acts chapter 16, where he saw Timothy. Timothy was a church, somebody that's in church. Okay, and then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there. Amen. I like the way they use, you know, when you start getting into the New Testament, into the book of Acts, whatever and all that, they don't just use a certain believer. It's a disciple. They begin to, anytime they want to talk about a particular person for something very important, they will mention that he's a disciple. There are people around their quarters that are not disciples. That's what they are saying. Yes, it's a certain disciple. They have checked his qualities, his devotion, his consistency. They said, he's a disciple. He's a disciple, was there, named Timothy, the son of. But you see, they have his CV. He's a son of a certain woman. Sometimes, just in church, nobody can speak about you. You are not yet a disciple. That is your spirit, amen. Hallelujah. So they say, who is this person? I'm just seeing him. I don't really know what he does. Who knows what he does? I don't know exactly what he does. Where does he live? I don't really know. I just seen him. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah. The certain disciple was named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek. See details. And it was reported of the brethren that were at Lystra. So they know him. They know his father. They know his mother. Amen. They knew him. And he was a disciple. You know, the person that prayed for Saul, this is Ananias. He was a disciple. So they don't use those words just like that. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. And you get what I'm saying. They don't just use those words. They would have the test, whatever. If the writer of the whatever were distinguishing multitude and disciples, when they were coming into, you know, the New Testament, in the season, they
particular, when they say this is a disciple, when you check it, you know that that person is a disciple. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him, the Lord appeared in the vision. Ananias, and he said, behold, I hear the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 11. Actually, that's where we are reading. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to this cross street and inquire of one. Look at, he's a disciple. Was a disciple. While that he was ministering in love, so he said that Paeltin, who came to the church in Nigeria, all our fathers are his sons. He was not an apostle. Before he came, so he was a certain disciple. He was a disciple in the church before he came here. Look at his impact. Still speaks it today. I listened to Baba Adeboye himself say that when he was a lecturer, after he got born again, he goes to Elisha every week to go and meet him for fellowship, to minister to him. And he said because he likes apple. So when he's going, he will buy plenty of apple. So as he's eating apple, he's sharing the word. Amen. And it's not only Baba Adeboye that met him. Brogbile used to go and see him too regularly. All our fathers have contact with him. He was a disciple in his church. Hallelujah. The Lord will bring this back again. That's the reason why this teaching, everything is, you know, the Lord wants to. You just see someone that is just a disciple in an assembly, goes to a place and, you know, today when you just see somebody with a just little Christian quality, are you a pastor? Maybe he just bless his food before he ate it. And the next thing, are you a pastor? Because he prayed before he ate food. He's now a pastor. So if he, if that is who a pastor is, then who a member would not be? Yeah. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Bible school does not make a disciple. Amen. Hallelujah. What I just said about that is that that's not the, I know it has its place, but that's not what Jesus used to make disciples. You know, the way it's going now, it's like it's going to be, it's like there will be some schools that will be turning out apostles. Is it the way it's looking now? School of apostles. Are you, now when you finish your courses, they will rob you. You enter the apostolic. Amen. Where the rails. Where there is apostle school, where there is apostle. Amen. Jesus didn't use those things. Hallelujah. Jesus had disciples who followed him and then they became apostles. Maybe we should even read that. Matthew chapter 10. I think it's Matthew chapter 10. Amen. Let me be fast so that I can clean. Okay, thank you. And when he had called, verse 1 to 2, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. And now the names of the 12 apostles are these. So they were first disciples before they became apostles. And the first was Simon, which is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, son of Zebedee, and the likes. So they were first disciples before they became apostles. They were first disciples before they became apostles. Let me say this in Daddy's words, which is, you know, very, very accurate also, is that you can't make disciples with campus fellowship setting. Mm-mm.
You know why? Let me tell you, one of the reasons is, apart from even the manpowers there, they are not ministry gifts. They don't have touch of ministry gift to even do that. Apart from that, there is a discipleship program running there already, which is the school curriculum. You can't change that one. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't be doing meeting like Image and Glory Conference as a student. You can't do it. Or you'll be having, you know how we have meeting, you know, the grace, you can't, the setting is just like a midwife, a transitory program. It's a transitory program, actually. You transit. So, because you are a leader, that does not confirm that you are a leader when you leave school. You now go and start church. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Even the timing there is not enough. A soul can act all through that years. A soul can act and act well. You understand what I'm saying? Ah, this brother is on fire for the Lord. After he graduates, he's just somebody else. Ah, it's not brother. It's not this brother that used to pray 15 hours. What's wrong? That period is too short enough for some soul to hide. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So those discipleship program is thorough. It's much thorough. Amen. If you all agree, you know, some of us have campus expression before we came to church. Brother Bright, my brother is here. He was a president of a fellowship on campus. Plenty of people Pastor Onesimus is here. He has a lot of campus experience. You know, our papa is here. You know, he's here also. What I'm trying to say is that you all agree that the thoroughness of local church is different from that. Do you agree with that? You know that the way local church has, in 2-3 years, has taken some things from you, has molded you, is different from that. Because even the brother that preaches there does not have enough stature to take something. He doesn't have experience. He's also a student. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir, he's a president. He's a president. He's not the pastor. He's not a fivefold ministry gift. He's a president of a fellowship. He doesn't have enough stature to... I remember one time like that. Ah, Lord have mercy. Let me tell you, my... I had this wonderful brother. He was engaged with one of the sisters in the fellowship. So they're having issues. So... you don't have touch of it. There's nothing you can do about it. So they were having issues, you know, the sister, all of a sudden we begin to have a problem with the brother. And then, you know, I was the president of the fellowship. So the matter came to me, so I called both of them to resolve the issue. Some of you that know it first, so I took them to religious ground, you know? Religious ground where we have All Souls Chapel. You know what I'm saying? From morning to night, Pastor, I don't know if you do anything. You know, my faith was that this fellowship, this relationship will not break. It will not break. Pastor, the thing breaks, sir. There's nothing. The thing they were talking about, I couldn't resolve. What is this? It's not... the thing was far beyond my. When I look back, I say, there's no way I can help it. It's beyond my. I had no experience. There's nothing I could do about it. I have not built for it. The thing has to. They have to go their ways. You understand? All my faith, my bragging, and no, the Lord will keep everything. I left the place humble. I just carried my Bible. I just went to my hostel. There's nothing I could do. Because that matter was
It was deeper than what I could do. It was a matter that I had no... in fact, my understanding of scriptures would not even go around that area. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So who is a disciple? Let me just begin to round it up. A disciple is an apprentice. You know, we all know what an apprentice is. You know, apprentice. If you want to know apprentice, I think the best way is that just come down to all those old ancient tailoring. No, not now. They are fashion designer. They don't do discipleship. Even the person that I want to learn is instructing the person that is teaching her that no, don't boss me around. I just came here to learn. They don't do, you know those times that they have to do your freedom. You know, how many of you know what that freedom thing? Ah! Now, tailoring you can't do, but you change pampers. If I, for the first year, you will not see... What are you doing on the machine? On the sewing machine? What are you doing there? Errands. You go to the market, you buy something. That's what you'll be doing. That's what you'll be doing there. That will just make you meek first. You have to be meek first before you sit on the... but you agree that those people that came out of those things, they had character. They are not people like they'll tell you that your clothes will be ready tomorrow. When you come, the guys. No character. Some people have skills, but they don't have character. So the process was thorough. The apprentice. The person you are learning can decide that it's not now that it's okay, it's 2 years I want to learn. Yeah? You are the one that determined it is the person that said, okay, you are ready for what, sir? Are you agree with what I'm saying? That's what I call it freedom. If he decides he's not doing it, he will just look at you one day and says, you are not doing freedom again. You know? There's nothing you can do. There's nothing. You just humble yourself and learn and do. He will just tell you. And when your parents come and say, you have not learned, they will not fight it. They will just leave it like that. A lot of things has slipped away. But the church will recover all those things in a better dimension. Can we pray? I want that to just have time. Can we pray? Let's just pray. I don't know how the Lord has communicated things to us. Even myself, I won't lie to you, the message really touched me. I need help. That we will find grace to yield to these things. I believe that the Lord wants to already increasing government in the house, but he wants us to have an understanding to yield better. So please, let's respond in the spirit.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.